Burton had replied to Frigate's questions somewhat surlily. Alice had angered him earlier that day. She seemed to be able to do so very easily lately, and he was thinking of a way to anger her. Now he seized upon the opportunity given him by Frigate. He launched into an uninhibited account of what went on in the Karachi houses. Ruach finally got up and walked away. Frigate looked as if he were sick, but he stayed. Wilfrida laughed until she rolled on the ground. Kaz and Monat kept stolid expressions. Gwynafra was sleeping on the boat, so Burton didn't have to take her into account. Logu seemed to be fascinated, but also slightly repulsed. Alice, his main target, turned pale and then later red. Finally she rose and said, "Really, Mr. Burton, I had thought you were low before, but to brag of this... You are utterly contemptible, degenerate, and repulsive. Not that I believe a word of what you've been telling me. I can't believe that anybody would behave as you claim you did and then boast about it. You're living up to your reputation as a man who likes to shock others, no matter what damage it does to his own reputation." She had walked off into the darkness. Frigate had said, "Sometime maybe you'll tell me how much of that is true. I used to think as she did, but when I got older, more evidence about you was turned up, and one biographer made a psychoanalysis of you based on your own writing and various documentary sources." "And the conclusions?" Burton said mockingly. "Later, Dick," Frigate said. "Ruffian Dick," he added, and he too left. Now, standing at the tiller, watching the sun beat down on the group, listening to the hissing of water cut by the two sharp prows and the creaking of rigging, he wondered what lay ahead on the other side of the canyon-like channel. Not the end of the river, surely. That would probably go on forever. But the end of the group might be near. They had been cooped up too long together. Too many days had been spent on the narrow deck with too little to do except talk or help sail the ship. They were rubbing each other raw and had been doing it for a long time. Even Wilfrida had been quiet and unresponsive lately. Not that he had been too stimulating. Frankly, he was tired of her. He didn't hate her or wish her any ill, he was just tired of her, and the fact that he could have her and not have Alice Hargreaves made him even more tired of her. Lev Ruach was staying away from him, or speaking as little as possible, and Lev was arguing even more with Esther about his dietary habits and his daydreaming, and why didn't he ever talk to her? Frigate was mad at him about something, but Frigate would never come out and say anything, the coward, until he was driven into a corner and tormented into a mindless rage. Logu was angry and scornful of Frigate because he was sullen with her as with the others. Logu was also angry with him, Burton, because he had turned her down when they had been alone gathering bamboo in the hills several weeks ago. He had told her no, adding that he had no moral scruples against making love to her, but that he would not betray Frigate or any other member of the crew. Logu said that it wasn't that she did not love Frigate, it was just that she needed a change now and then, just as Frigate did. Alice had said that she was about to give up hope of ever seeing anybody she knew again. They must have passed an estimated 44,370,000 people at least, and not once had she seen anybody she had known on Earth. She had seen some that she had mistaken for old acquaintances, and she admitted that she had only seen a small percentage of the 44,370,000 at close range or even at far range. But that didn't matter. She was getting abysmally depressed and weary of sitting on this cramped foredeck all day, with her only exercise handling the tiller or the rigging or opening and closing her lips with conversation, most of it inane. Burton didn't want to admit it, but he was afraid that she might leave. She might just get off at the next stop, walk off onto the shore with her grail and few belongings and say goodbye, see you in 100 years or so, perhaps. The chief thing keeping her on the boat so far had been Gwynafra. She was raising the little ancient Briton as a Victorian lady come post-resurrection mores child. This was a most curious mixture, but not any more curious than anything else along the river. Burton himself was weary of the eternal voyaging on the little vessel. He wanted to find some hospitable area and settle down there to rest, then to study, to engage in local activities, to get his land legs back, and allow the drive to get out and away to build up again. But he wanted to do it with Alice as his hutmate. "The fortune of the man who sits also sits," he muttered. He would have to take action with Alice. He had been a gentleman long enough. He would woo her, he would take her by storm. He had been an aggressive lover when a young man, then he had gotten used to being the loved, not the lover, after he got married. And his old habit patterns, old neural circuits, were still with him. He was an old person in a new body.